This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah,
this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
This is In the Conversation. Yes, what's good, man?
Hold on, they got some work to do.
Oh yeah, let them hit that button, that subscribe button.
If you're listening right now and you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, and you know what I'm saying, put some points on the board.
Right.
Yeah.
There
it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shit, if you really want to go hard, retweet that SoundCloud link to your folk.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Retweet it.
Hashtag In the Conversation.
Gram it. Snap it.
You know? Show love. Let us know you out there. Anyway, man, how you doing, man?
I am feeling great, my brother.
Oh! Are you talking to me from Wakanda?
I am talking to you in my Wakanda.
Oh! Very, very good to hear from you.
Very good to see you.
Hey, Wakanda.
Hey, that's how. Hey, come on, this bitch. You feeling good like a motherfucker.
Wakanda. What do you mean? Oh, I don't even know. I was making up all types of African dialects.
Yeah. Come out that mother feeling good.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Black Panther. Shout out to Wakanda. It premiered this week. Finally, after all of the fanfare and the hype and the hoopla, which I gotta say it lived up to, in my opinion.
I couldn't wait to hear your perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You had a skeptical eye on it.
Yeah, I was skeptical.
Your regular button was on, you know what I'm saying?
It was, I was ready to push it if it needed to be pushed. I just wanted to look. I was hoping that it was going to be good. Right. I just didn't, you know, it was borderline desperation, the palpable excitement for this thing. So I was like, if this shit ain't good, it's going to be some depressed motherfuckers
boom.
In the zeitgeist. But nah, we out here chilling. We out here having a good time. Yo, I was so hyped to go. I was uptown. I was trying to cop a last minute, you know, I was looking for an Africa medallion. I told you that.
Right.
I went.
Came up short.
Yeah, I went to my little spot on 116th where they the little African street mart. Nobody even heard of the medallion.
They're like, damn, they don't make that no more.
I guess I had to Google image it. I'm like, an Africa medallion. I figured that would be short. I figured that would be a quick one. They had a whole lot of other different things. So I got a little Africa joint, little beaded piece, wood Africa.
No doubt.
I tried on about 6-7 different dashikis. I was about to jump out the dashiki window, but I was like, D, slow down. You ain't even seen the movie yet. You done had your whole life to buy dashiki. You know what I mean? And it just, I don't think they was the official joints.
Right.
I think an official dashiki got to kind of be made for you. These are little $20, $15 dashikis.
Made in China joints.
Yeah. So it was a...
It's the thought.
It's the
intent.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, my wife was trying to go all dashiki'd out.
Yeah.
But she ended up just getting one for my daughter and her.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So,
all right.
So they was the only ones had the full.
Full.
Yeah. So, you know.
Matt, you bought a dashiki?
I saw Black Panther. I did not see. Did not wear a dashiki, though.
Did you? You went to see Black Panther?
Yeah, I got to it last night.
Oh
that's nice.
Got
okay.
to it.
Okay.
I figured I had to come in here. There's good high enough chance of spoilers in here today that I.
Oh, you already
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you had to. Yeah, you it's had like, to
I,
go ahead and get it.
That's one thing. I had to go and do that one.
You already know. It might get spoiled. We're going to talk about some shit. What you think, man? Talk to me.
Man, I thought the movie was well done
mm-hmm.
through and through. You know what I'm saying? I thought from top to bottom, every scene gave you something. You know what I'm saying? All of the main characters gave you something.
Right.
I thought it had humor. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The style was on point. The mm-hmm. costume design was on point. The world that they created as far as the city and, you know, the landscape was on point.
Right.
I mean, it was just they gave it the full treatment. Like, And by them having to create the whole environment, the weapons and CGI right. and all that shit, it's like they went all the way in and it came out right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was looking at an interview with Ruth Carter who did the costume design.
Right, used to do all the Spike Lee stuff back
then. She
did
all
the
Spike Lee, Malcolm X, da, da, da. So she know what it is.
Right.
And they did. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
now I don't think I ever used that word.
Yeah, it was good. it was good. I enjoyed it.
You know, all the characters was dope. Angela Bassett was dope.
Right.
Just seeing her presence was dope.
Yeah.
Like, if it was going to be a Wakanda, Angela Bassett should be.
Angela Bassett would be a Wakanda, huh?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What you think, as somebody that watches a lot of these comic book movies, how does it handle the canon?
I mean, I don't know necessarily. I've never read the comic books for Black Panther. I thought it was overall a good movie. I thought the first act kind of dragged a little bit. The first act seemed a little bit unnecessary. It finished strong. Ultimately, I thought the women kind of stole the show on that one.
No doubt.
The ladies in that one were really strong.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I agree with that.
It's like, the first act really did not impress me.
I'm a human. You're scrutiny. Yeah. We can't let no scrutiny rock just early like that. Nah. You gotta shut your mic down, man. Your mic has been disconnected, man. It's too early for that.
Keep it on, man.
Man. I was like, I'm a human in scrutiny. He's like, hurt. Oh, shit, man. That was hilarious. That was a funny... It was a good movie, man. It was a hell of a world. It was a hell of a world. Like, you really felt yourself being in there. Like, you was like immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely created some shit that, you know, like, I forgot until the very end that they filmed it in Atlanta, right? So when I was, you know, because I seen some photos. I seen one photo they had of, I think, Chadwick Boseman on the roof, and it was like, you could look at the back or you see Mitchell Street. And I was like, uh-oh. I think that's just a behind-the-scenes thing. I hope there ain't no little glaring Atlanta pieces.
Right.
But you would have never known that. I thought that was crazy. I got two questions, though. I got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wakanda, if you were Black Panther, do you stay in Wakanda or do you use what you got to help everybody in the world?
You asking me?
I'm asking you, if you was Black Panther.
I don't know shit. I ain't the leader of fucking Wakanda. I just got introduced to Wakanda. I just want to soak it up. I want to hit some corners. I want to go to the club.
See what's up.
You know what I'm saying? I want to see what's cracking.
You want to keep it local now, huh?
First, before we start taking over the world and shit.
Okay.
Nah, but if you're talking in the storyline, I guess, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you are from the scene when they hit the UN. And it was like, we're gonna share our resources. You already knew the shit was gonna be. They're gonna laugh at him. This not even laugh at him. You know it's gonna be some trying to take over shit. You know
right.
what I mean? So, you know, you're just introducing it to the world.
Right.
Of, you know what I'm saying?
Plotting.
Of plotting, scheming, and you know what I'm saying? The peace is finna be disturbed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, while, you know, I agree, you know what I'm saying? I think we all came to the agreement with, you know, even Killmonger and T'Challa, they agreed on a certain level, except the way of going about it was totally different.
What would they agree on?
Well, in the end, they agreed that they had to expand and come out of just the bubble and hiding from the world. And,
right.
You know what I mean? You had to get out in the world and we should not leave, you know what I'm saying, the Wakanda children. Right. You know what I'm saying? On their own, out in the world.
Right.
I think they both came to that same determination. So when he went to the plateau of the ancestors?
I don't know, the mountains?
Ancestral plane. When he went to the ancestral plane.
Is that the thing that looks like the panther?
Well, where the panthers was in the tree, it was kind of purple. When he went to see us where the dead people was at.
Oh, when he dies and you get to speak.
Right.
Okay.
So, not dies, when he drank the damn heart-shaped... herb, and then he goes to the ancestral plane to talk to the ancestors.
Right. Okay. I thought that. All right. I, for whatever reason, I felt like you were dead for a second. I could put you under, I guess it takes you to the ancestral play, puts you, because they come out of it gasping, like, you know what I mean? I thought they were dead for a minute, but I see what you're saying.
So even when he talked to his father, he was saying, you know, you were wrong for, you know what I'm saying, not helping.
Helping the world.
Helping the children of the other children of Wakanda in the world. He was like, you know what I'm saying? So I think he came to the understanding that it had to change.
Right.
Everybody wanted the cats from the mountains, you know what I'm saying? The Jabari tribe challenged them because they wanted shit to change.
Oh, they said they wanted stuff to change in the world?
Just in general, they didn't feel like they was running shit right.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, you know, y'all been running this shit for thousands of years,
uh-huh.
and, you know what I'm saying, it's just more of the same.
Uh-huh.
And that's why he challenged them.
Okay.
So, you know, I felt like everybody was coming to the conclusion that shit had to change, and it's just, you know, how are we going to get there is the question.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, of course you would help. First, you would use those riches and resources to do something.
I'm just asking.
But they coming for that shit once they figure it out.
They going to figure out how to. That's my thing. Can Wakanda stay Wakanda once they open the doors?
Nah, it's going to
be aired out.
It's going to be a different vibe. It's going to be, but you know what I'm saying? They're going to be under some duress.
Oh, man. It was a good one. Man. They had a nice little... Nice little pieces of shade in there. It was some funny little moments. A
lot of shade.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was good. As I was leaving, it was this one older lady, because it was like a whole group of older people in mm-hmm. front of us, like a little bus. And it was probably like 15 older people. They mm-hmm. had their little dashikis or little, you know, dashiki hats, the little hat joints. And one lady, she probably was about 60 years old. She was talking to her dude. She was like, I don't know. I felt like the other one was a better Black Panther. He looked better in the suit. He was just a little angry. You know, they only gave him 24 hours. I wanted to see what he could do.
But that's how they'll do you, dog.
They was ready to get rid. But can we just be 100? Look, I'm for Chadwick being Black Panther because that's who came in the game as Black Panther. Let him reign. But can we not admit that ass whipping that Killmonger threw that man was decisive.
But see, that's what I was about to say, is that...
Is this your king?
Black people don't like to see you get your ass whooped.
Ooh, that was a world star on Wakanda.
Once you get your ass whooped, it take a little bit of, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, you got the side eye forever. Like, yeah. You know, it's a kid in the crowd like, oh, I could whoop his
yeah.
ass.
Yeah, we thought you was dead.
You know what I'm saying?
That Avengers that he got in the train tracks... A la Fruitvale Station,
right?
You know what I mean. It wasn't as convincing,
right?
As that Killmonger.
I mean, if I had to, you know, what I'm saying, this ain't even the week for the criticism. You know what I'm saying? I want to save my criticism for another week or so.
Okay, We building. Go ahead.
But if I had one thing that I would criticize in the movie was that last fight scene between him and Killmonger. Because after you got the battlefield and mm-hmm. the motherfucking rhinos and right. the Jabaris and the, you know what I'm saying, everybody kicking ass.
Yeah.
Then, you know what I'm saying, the fight ends with him getting stabbed.
Or some beach street.
Like, a, you know what I'm saying? No. Like, T'Challa got stabbed worse in the challenge fight when he stabbed him with the spear. You know what I'm saying? It was like, shit, I thought he should have been dead then.
But he should have at least looked like he was dead.
Exactly. Like, he got stabbed worse. So for the ending fight sequence to end with just a little stab,
yeah,
it was kind of like, ah. But that's it. That's you know what I'm saying? So that's
where it begins and ends.
That's where it begins and ends.
No more criticism.
That's, you know what I'm saying? I wish it was a certain point where, because I saw it Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then we saw it again Friday.
Right.
So it was a point where, you know, everybody started to go see it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Then Saturday, you know what I'm saying?
Talks.
It started the internet talk. And then I just wished I could just freeze the internet right then.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. For a few days. Before,
like a pause.
Like a pause before all the think pieces. And you know what I'm saying? That shit started rolling in. I'm like, here we go.
Everybody got to get their analysis on. Right. That's part of the that's the new part of everything that we experience. The talk back.
Right.
That's the new part of it now. That's part of the experience now. Mm-hmm. So if a show comes on television or a movie comes out, just as important as the piece itself is now the pieces.
Right, afterwards. No doubt. And I like to give, you know, in my own little
mind, hear you.
I like to give Bevy Smith a lot of credit for that because of her talkbacks on The View early in the game. It was like one of the first ones to be consistently doing the talkbacks.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I like to give a shout out to Bevy Smith.
Shout out to Bevy Smith.
You know what I'm saying? Innovating the social media space.
There you go.
But, yeah, man, I love that shit. I love the fight sequence in Korea, the first one.
In the
red dress on.
In the little casino.
It was very Kill Bill-ish.
Yeah.
The way that the room was set up.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it was different.
Yeah.
It's a lot darker.
Yeah. That shit was
and
cool.
And one thing, like my favorite part of the whole shit, and it's nothing you could see. You know what I'm saying? It was in the soundtrack. Where like they had these little African chants whenever she fight, they always come in and be like, choo, 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 choo.
Oh,
it's in
word?
The background, like it's in the music. So the shit is so ill because it gives it another level of intensity that is not really there. But because you hear that shit bouncing off the speakers, choo, 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 you're like, what the fuck?
Little Migos.
You know what I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like you got a little tribe of motherfuckers doing a war chant on your ass.
Yeah.
You like, shit, that shit is confusing.
Yeah.
But like when you see those fight sequences and that shit come in, that's when that shit really, it be at the peak of the fight.
Yeah.
I was like, that was dope.
Yeah, the women really do hold Black Panther down. Wakanda, the women run out. They running shit over there. So it's a nice balance. I was seeing how a lot of people talking about that.
That shit happening in real life right now?
Yeah, but not as...
Disciplined.
Not as disciplined and not as... What's the word? There's the when you dance, right? When it's like they both it's in concert with each other where everybody play their part and everybody is cool with, you know what I mean? Like it's more fluid that it's not like a woman stay in her place. Right. A man stay, like, you know what I mean? Everybody getting it in.
It's just like, you know what I'm saying, in my experience just growing up when you around in the hood and shit, it's always like superheroes is always you might have a couple of dudes that run shit.
Yeah.
But then the superheroes always be some woman doing something. You know what I mean? Taking super care of a bunch of people or, you know what I'm saying? Like, in my family, shit, I had an aunt that whoop ass. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whoop a man ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And be out there boxing a nigga down. And she was like a superhero and shit.
Yeah.
Because even my Aunt Charisse, even her whole legend was that when my grandfather was under the car fixing the car and shit.
Uh-huh.
And the jack fell.
Yeah.
And then she lift the damn car enough for him to roll out from under that bitch.
Yeah.
So that was her legend off rip.
Right.
And then when you see
a
fight.
Hero.
Yeah, she was already a hero. And then, you know, by the time I came along, you see her fighting in the streets.
Gladiator.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, good God.
Yeah.
Big heavy handed ass. Toof, 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 toof.
Nah, you know, it's so funny. I know a Charisse too. I grew up with who was nice with the hands as well. So
you know what I'm saying? So, and like you know, just from my experience, I've kind of seen not as disciplined, not in an organized fashion, but you know what I'm saying? My older sister, she whooped ass. It was my Aunt Charisse, my sister Yvette, and my cousin Dez.
Mm.
Them motherfuckers will whoop some ass.
Get it in.
They,
what's the name of the? I forget the name of the little squad. That
what squad?
His military, the women, what are they called? Not the Shifu.
It's DQ, Dora Q.
Dora Q, yeah. So shout out to all of them. That shit was dope, though. That shit was, I enjoyed it. I might see it again. I see a lot of people doing the multiple viewing.
I definitely got at least one more. I want to see it in the IMAX scenario.
Yeah, I saw it in the IMAX. That's how I kicked it off.
So I want to see it on the big shit. But I'm going to tell you this, though. From, you know, all the shit that I've seen, to me, I'm giving the Alamo Draft House a trophy. They the MVP of this shit.
Yeah?
Hell yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Because when you go in there, they had all of the content before the movie was all about African film, you know what I'm saying? About the history of Black Panther.
Right.
That shit was like...
Context.
It was context, you know what I'm saying? They gave you good content before it was real thought out. And then, they had a specialized menu because you could eat in there and shit. Yeah. So they had a Black Panther inspired menu with the Ethiopian wings and the.
What's the Ethiopian wings?
Hey, listen, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just giving the motherfuckers an A for effort.
Keep going. What else?
You know what I'm saying?
What else was on the menu?
I don't remember. I got a picture of it.
So you saw it both times at the Alamo?
No, I saw it Alamo Draft House first.
And then Court?
And then, hell no. And then I saw that BAM.
Oh, but that's ill too, though.
Yeah, but it was early showing.
Okay.
Because when we came out of the showing at BAM, the line was...
Fight the power.
It was down the street. You had cameras out there and doing interviews.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's about to be on.
What time was that?
That was coming out of the 5 o'clock, so it was probably about going on 8.
But prime time.
I did the almost the 1 in the morning joint at the draft house.
That was just you and your wife, though, right?
Nah, that was me and my sons.
Okay, right.
So,
and you like that experience a lot better?
Hell yeah. It was dope, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, of course, when you could just get some real food, drink a beer, you know what I'm saying? But then it's just...
Assigned seats, too, right?
Assigned seats. You ain't got to worry about finding where you're going to sit.
Yo, let me tell you this. This was crazy. I seen two motherfucking couples trying to steal seats at the assigned seats during the Black Panther. It got caught slipping. Oh, it was hilarious. They played it cool. Both people, they both played it cool. One was like a gay couple, two dudes. They just tried to, they played it off real cool. Like, oh, and they just stepped off and found some more seats.
Right.
Surprisingly, it was a few extra seats.
Right.
Then another couple, like a white couple, they got caught. And then
the
Black Panther.
What?
You know what I mean? But
get your people, Matt.
You know, come on, Matt.
Matt, what's going on?
You know, white people want to see Marvel movies too.
I mean, of course. They gotta pay to play, baby. But they got caught and they stood around for a hot second. They ain't playing as cool as the other couple. And they were like, because the what you call it, the usher kind of just gave them the.
You know you tripping.
Yeah, you playing yourself right now. And I need you to stand in this. I need the people to see. You know what I mean? It was
a funny moment. The light on you.
Right. Look at this.
We're going to bring these to up front to the congregation.
Exactly.
Nah, but that shit was dope. Like I said, it was like, I know a lot of times you have big movies and shit, and, you know, a lot of marketing goes into it, and, you know, you have all of these things set up and ready to go. But it doesn't usually happen with black movies. You know what I'm saying? So to experience a black movie where the theater is thoughtful of what's going on, and the content on the screen is thoughtful of, because even at BAM, they didn't have no pre-shit that was even remotely, you know what I'm saying, speaking to the audience that was there. It was like at the draft house, they kind of welcomed the whole experience.
And they're more about movies anyway. They're like a little bit, I mean, you know, BAM is official.
Yeah.
But the draft house is like for cinephiles. Like, that's their whole shit. They probably do that for all their shit. They probably curate it, which is kind of fly.
I've been to a couple. I saw Moonlight there. It wasn't, you know, man.
It wasn't like extra shit.
Nah, it wasn't no extra shit at Moonlight. It was just previews. Okay. Let's go.
Maybe that Marvel money, too. Maybe they got a little influx of some paper.
Yeah, they might have got a little influx, but, you know what I'm saying? They probably knew it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Shit, we done sold out.
Yeah.
Sold so many tickets to this shit already.
Let's figure out some Ethiopian wings.
Let's get this shit together, you know?
That
shit was dope, man. So, and then, I guess on the Saturday showing, somebody proposed to their girl at the draft house.
And it was a it was a yes, right?
Of course, yeah.
Because that would be horrible. Yeah, was it before or after?
It was before.
Okay, because that would put a damper on the shit.
And she was with her girls. Like, he came in.
Oh, Dola, by himself?
Yeah, so she was out with her girls. He didn't have tickets to that showing. He had another showing.
Okay.
But he knew she was going to be there.
Right.
He came in, proposed. Uh-huh. She said yes, and then he bounced out. So she stayed with that
girl. He made a movie before the movie.
Exactly. But it could have went totally wrong. You know what I'm saying?
That's why he ain't buy that ticket.
Well, he had another showing.
Mm-hmm.
She was out with her girls. But
he ain't gonna have to sit through that.
Yeah. That could go either way. If you're in front of your girls, you better be the one.
This is your king? Throw this motherfucker off the water.
Is this your king? That's gonna... motherfuckers don't want to see you get your ass whooped, boy.
Nah, you got to steer clear of that.
That does. That shit.
Especially when the whole community's out there.
Yeah.
The whole community was out there
doing the bang head bouncing
shit. Right. Oh, man.
My man from Get Out was getting that shit done.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. This is something that I thought about. I really feel like, I mean, and I guess it's just a combination of just a lot of different things. Personally, people have been saying it, but like with Black Panther being so dope, right? And one of the things that struck me at the beginning of the film was like, you know, Wakanda has all of this and all of that, and people dismiss it as a third world country, and we were hiding in plain sight, just as good as we are, right? And I was thinking, will this recast Africa as a place to go check out, you know? Because for years growing up, the propaganda with Africa was like, you know, there was the ancient propaganda that we were kings and queens, you know what I mean? But it was kind of abstract. But then there was the 80s and, you know, early like 70s, 80s propaganda, even 90s of starving children and flies and shit like that, war-torn countries and things of that nature.
Right. I think, you know what I'm saying, now I'm about to switch from to my...
Well, hold on, let me, because as you know, to that point, like with that, then a friend of mine, he just went out to, he's going out to Nigeria next week. He done been to Nigeria about 3-4 times in the last year. Said the shit is crazy. It's social media week going on out there. I think they build, I think they got a lot of, I want to say it's zinc or some type of metal that's heavy with the cell phones that,
I mean,
it's a lot of shit going on.
A lot of minerals that's in the cell phones that's in Africa.
Go ahead. What were you about to say?
But one, that wave is going. That shit is already going. It was going before as far as culturally.
Right.
But on a colonialist side of things, you know what I'm saying? Africa is the next frontier. If you look at a lot of these hedge fund companies and companies that handle big money and shit, they're all investing in Africa. China is investing in Africa heavy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to to make Africa a more friendly place for outsiders to go visit, you know what I'm saying, I think it's probably, you know, part of the plan.
Part of this Marvel thing, too?
Not even just the Marvel thing. It's just as far as globalization is concerned. Right. That shit is the biggest, that's the, you know what I'm saying? That's the big black elephant in the room. It's like, that shit is right there. You know what I'm saying? It got all the resources. These big companies are already putting the money, but then you have to figure out how you're going to merge the cultures. You know what I'm saying? And I think something like this is a big step in that direction. And it's already happening. Like, I got friends from South Africa. I'm working on a documentary with Damani based on his travels to South Africa. So in that, you meet a lot of people from the continent. And over the last, I guess, year and a half, 2 years, you know, a lot of their friends have been coming to New York. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every 2 weeks, I'm knowing somebody that's going to South Africa.
Right.
So you connect in both ways, you know what I'm saying? And when they come to New York, we all used to meet at Madiba.
Mm-hmm.
It's called at the embassy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's closing down now, so we got to find a new embassy and shit.
Wow.
New South African embassy. But it's already happening. You could hear it in the music. You could go to the party and see everybody doing the South African dance or the Nigerian dances because of the Afrobeat music that's being infused into our music.
Mm.
You know, so it's happening. That conversation is already happening. So people across the diaspora are already connecting, and this only helps it. This only opens it up and opens people's minds who haven't even been thinking about that shit to think about it, like, oh man, I might want to check it out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You start talking back and forth. You like, I have no real concept of what, because I've never been to Africa.
Right.
No parts of Africa. But from talking to people who are from there and shit, you start to open your mind. Like, you start to hear them talk about different parts of Africa, like we talk about going to Cali or going to Atlanta or whatever. And then it's like, you know, we was having a conversation once and it was like, what's one of the best places on earth to be black and just chill? You know, if it's like Zanzibar.
Mm.
Like Zanzibar.
You was gonna say Atlanta.
You know what I'm saying? You see it as beaches and shit. Niggas is chilling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay.
But
that wasn't even on your radar. It wasn't even no place that was, you know what I'm saying? That was, you know, close to even being on your radar. If you're European, it's different because, you know, you have colonies.
Right.
In Africa, you know what I'm saying? You got French colonies, you got Dutch, you know what I'm saying? Portuguese, you know what I mean? British, you know, colonies and shit. So it's kind of already in your zeitgeist, as you say.
I guess.
But you know what I'm saying? With us, it's kind of got cut off. And then they made it a bad thing. Like, yeah,
we don't talk to them. They struggling. That's how the how it looked like.
Right.
It kind of,
you don't
want to
go
like,
there. You doing better here.
It kind of made you think, damn, Americans might be Wakanda on Samoa. They struggling over there. Right. Let me chill over here.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? I'll send it whatever the fuck with the nominal shit.
The 50 cents a day.
Did you ever watch that? There's a dope SNL sketch. Came out a couple seasons ago where they were doing the, like, the save the children type thing. And I forget who the person was, but they had the white guy was like, for only 39 cents a day, you could save these people. And then you got all the black people in the back, and you see all the black people go up to the thing, it's like, ask for more. It's like, only 39 cents, ask for more. It was just hilarious, man. Shout out to the whole SNL squadron.
It's weird because it's like, like you said, our whole time growing up, it was like the Ethiopians with the flies and the big bellies.
Right.
And shit. And then, shit, you grow up and meet the Ethiopians and shit.
Like, wait a minute.
Hold up. Yeah, they, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ethiopia's doing well.
It's so much about what you're exposed to. It's, you know, like, anything. If you're not exposed to it, it feels foreign. You know what I mean? And then when there's, on top of that, when there's that propaganda that feeds your ignorance, like, don't even worry about it over there. Let me show you what's going on over there.
Right.
This shit. You know what I mean? So it just kind of, it's like, you know, it's like they kept your ass in the dark.
Yeah, but if you look at how everything is played, you would think going to fucking Compton, you would be dead on the
right. Right,
you know,
right, right.
You would think going to, you know, certain part, the Bluff in Atlanta is,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going to Liberty City is fucked up. Going to Brownsville or even just Bed-Stuy.
Right.
Like, you would think Bed-Stuy was, you know what I mean, a war-torn country.
And you gotta be careful about that shit. You gotta be careful. Sometimes you don't realize that until a little earlier, till a little later in life. You gotta discern who's putting these messages out.
Right.
Or you gotta have somebody that's smart enough to be like, to make you question what you're seeing.
Right. Because
sometimes you'll see some shit, especially when you're young, you just take it as fact.
Right.
It is what it is. This is what I saw. It must be real. Shit, I hit you the other day about some fake shit I seen on the internet. I thought C Murder was out of jail, and it was some Instagram foolery. Anyway,
but you have to take your own experience into consideration.
Yeah,
and you have to look around you and actually look and compare and contrast. So like when somebody talk about another hood, like before I came to New York for the first time.
Yeah,
like. You know, I'm from Miami. It was, you know what I'm saying, going crazy in the streets. It was the Jack era.
Right.
Crack era. It was a lot going on. So, you know, but people talk about New York like, oh, mm-hmm. You go, you got to watch
it. Ready, nigga.
Watch your back.
Yeah, be on point.
And then, you know, I looked around, you know, before I left, you know what I'm saying, I kind of took a assessment of where I was coming from.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, well, and even though it's going crazy in Miami,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, shit be chilling. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you go to such cooking.
All the time.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? If you look on this block, everybody go to work. It's only one house with these crazy motherfuckers right here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody chilling. There's cookouts. It's, you know what I mean? It ain't no violence every day.
Yeah.
You know, the shit that do happen at the spot where it happens at. So I get to New York, and I was living in the Bronx, which made me even more nervous. So, like, you know, it's funny because now I know now, but I didn't know then. But if you talk to anybody from anywhere in the five boroughs of New York, the other borough is always worse. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, don't fuck with the Bronx.
What was the Bronx saying? What borough were they saying?
Don't fuck with Brooklyn. Oh, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I was in the Bronx, and I would say, yeah, I'm about to go to Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Shit, I don't go to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I met him
a whole nother world.
When I first got here, met a cat, Rock Cigar, from Polo Grounds in Harlem.
Uh-huh.
We had to go to, he was rapping. We was going to go to the studio in Queens. I was like, yeah, you could just catch the A, and then we could go from there. He's like, I'll ride the train. You don't never know who you're going to cross paths with on the train. I don't leave Harlem.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so I had to go pick him up because he, you know what I'm saying, was not going to leave Harlem, you know, in an uninformed environment.
Yeah. I need to be by myself. We're going to make voyage. I don't need to be amongst the people.
So you know, once I got to the Bronx, I realized for the most part, everybody was just minding their own fucking business.
Right.
You had some corners where you had some activity going and cats doing their thing, but you know, you walk right past that. Everybody else in the middle is doing their fucking everyday one too.
You know what it is too, but this is in your mind. You feel like sometimes you feel like you stand out. You feel like if I was to go to Miami, right?
Right.
Even if I don't stand out, I might think, oh, I don't look like these niggas. Right. They could tell.
I don't look like them niggas.
Who looks like these niggas? you know what I'm saying? Like everybody, that's the thing. There's, none of this shit is a monolith.
Right.
Like to your point, it ain't all just savage motherfuckers. Right. It's regular ass people.
Shit, I go to Miami and the people I know I grew up with be like, you don't look like you from down here no more.
Hilarious.
What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like your skin too light.
That's funny.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't been in the sun. It don't look like the sun been cooking on you. This is real shit.
I believe
people
it.
Say.
Yeah.
You ain't got no goals. You know what I mean? You like, you look different. You
look like a visitor.
You're like an alien, nigga. Be like, damn.
Speaking of Miami and people that's not from around there and light folks, Drake was out there and
say all of the above.
And Drake was
light
out.
Light folks. He ain't from down there.
From, you know, ain't from
yeah, alien.
He was out there saving the world, giving out close to $1 million.
Yeah.
In the God's Plan video.
Yeah.
I know that was Miami. It felt like it was quite a few different corners of Miami. Did you see anybody you knew in the video?
My sister.
Was she really in the video?
Yeah, she goes because she go to the University of Miami.
Uh-huh.
So she's in the crowd shot. I wouldn't have seen it in the video.
Your sister, the Drakeologist?
Nah, my younger sister.
Oh, okay, okay.
But the Drakeologist, she fully supported that movement.
I'm sure.
That's
I'm sure.
Her shit.
Who wouldn't support it?
You know what I'm saying? But that was actually, when she worked with Young Money, her first thing with them was creating the philanthropy side of it.
Right.
So, you know, that really made her proud that Drake is still doing that type shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
it was nice.
She was real happy. But my little sister was in it because she's at University of Miami.
That's cool.
And so the crowd, when he was doing a little performance scene.
They was turning. Yeah
she was in that turn-up scene.
Right.
But.
Talk to me.
No, I didn't see anybody I knew in the other parts of the video. I didn't see, you know, much of any of the neighborhoods I knew. I did see him go to Overtown. He gave a fan in Overtown. I didn't know where the fuck else he was at in the other parts. I saw him on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But. He went to Miami High.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's respectable.
You go from the high to the U. Is that how it works?
From the high to, well, if you're good.
Yeah.
The high was the basketball school in Miami. Because Miami wasn't known for basketball
right
back then. We didn't really have powerhouse basketball situations back then. Now they do.
Okay.
But back then, the high was the powerhouse high school for basketball. You know what I'm saying? But... Now, I mean, he spanned a lot of cultures in that. You know what I mean? He didn't just go to one hood. He went to a lot of places, which was cool, man. He spread it out.
Yeah, it was cool.
Hey.
It was cool. The only thing in me, I guess the producer in me, I want to know how legitimate were these all first takes, these reactions, or was it like Drake was like, hey, if we could get you to run back into Drake's arms again, just a little bit more excited. If I could get you to cry, we still gonna give you the money.
Right.
But I need you to cry a little bit quicker on command. How much of that do you think is manipulated?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I mean, you can manipulate.
I know, but I'm saying
if you're sitting down on a hot ass motherfucking day and a nigga give you $100,000 stack.
You gonna cry automatically.
What the fuck? Oh, Lord, Jesus. Oh, Lord. I can't believe it.
Is that a camera?
That's all the production you need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The fat stack.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how much production they needed to manipulate the scenes.
I'm gonna have your whole family sitting on this curb. On the curb with the whole family.
Well, you know, they probably arranged it like, listen, this is what's going to happen. Da, da, da. They did a lot of production. But see, the thing about it is, first of all, I want to know who's still giving out $1 million to make a video.
I mean,
that's what I want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, where that happened at?
Don't tell the label. The label was like, shit, I don't know
who to
tell us.
Because all the budgets I be here, they don't be close to. But, you know what I'm saying? I think it was more so the sentiment, because it's actually a take off of Casey Neistat's video he had a couple years ago, where he was like, Nike gave us, you know, $40,000 to do this commercial, but instead we're gonna travel with it and see what we can come up with. You know what I'm saying?
When was that? How long was that?
That was about 3 years ago. That's like on the rise of Casey Neistat's rise. And if you don't know who he is, he had a TV show on HBO with his brother.
No, I know who you're talking about. I'm talking about
people who might not know.
I think Chance the Rapper might have even predated that.
What's that?
Because Chance the Rapper had a video. This was quite a few years ago. Hannibal directed it, and they had $5,000 as the budget, and that was the whole conceit of the video. Look, we got $5,000 to shoot a video. Mm-hmm. We're going to see what other weird shit we could do with this $5,000. So they go around. I don't know when that came up. But, you know.
Right.
But then I'm also hearing that there's this guy, XXXTentacion, who's got this thing. He's from Miami.
He wasn't out there.
No. He's got this whole hashtag helping hand challenge or whatever. He goes out and he helps people, right? And he's been telling his fans, yo, I need y'all to help people in hashtag. It's called the helping hand challenge.
Right.
So there was a little bit of blowback saying, did Drake try to shit on... No, wait. Did shit on him, because in the beginning of supposedly his video, he's like, yo, I don't believe in challenges. I think they whack. You know what I mean? You can just help whatever.
Like, wait a minute. He might have threw a couple of shots in there, but, you know what I'm saying, me knowing who Drake is...
You going to throw shots in the philanthropy video? That's
still
a little...
Still hip-hop, baby. Still hip-hop, baby. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to help you, but I'm going to get you.
I'm going to help these people, but if you're in the game, baby, you're getting shot upon. Mm-hmm. Nah, but Drake been, you know what I'm saying, he been doing shit since before he was popping all the way. Like, you know, his first album, you know... it's this only the shit I know, you know what I'm saying, because I was a part of it. When his first album had just dropped, he was coming to New York, and they were like, you know, Drake's coming to New York. He wants to pop up at a school. Can you get a school for us? You know what I'm saying? So I went to the school that was in my neighborhood, which was the easiest. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Had people over there already.
Right.
The Boys and Girls in Bed-Stuy. And set it up, you know what I'm saying? It was like, it had to be like a 24-hour turnaround. Set it up, you know what I'm saying? They organized the situation where 200 kids would come to the auditorium that were not the top kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of kids that were like on the verge of, you know, fucking up, but then they getting their shit together.
Right.
That's the type of kids he wanted in there. So we set the shit up. He came in, and this one, he was firecracker hot, you know what I'm saying? And he took time to just say, I want to do that when I get to town. And, no, a lot of new artists don't be, at that time especially, not a new artist want to think about doing no extra shit because they already got a whole bunch of shit they got to do.
Right.
So I think that's always been a part of who he is and his situation, because at that time, you know, he was a high school dropout, and that's the story he wanted to tell them, like, keep it pushing, you know what I'm saying, no matter, you know what I'm saying, where you at with it. So, and I didn't know he was a high school
guy. I didn't know that shit till just now.
So that's the
kind of... But he was also a high school, like, he was an actor. He's an actor,
but
so
he
different.
Just said, fuck it, I'm not going to stop acting and fucking going to school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No, he wasn't like, I'm fucking up in life and nothing's popping.
Right,
I'm just gonna
smoke
weed and fuck hoes and not go to school.
No, I hear that, but that's like, you know, that's like when you go to the league and you might not finish high school. You know, it's different. It's a different type of high school dropout.
I think it was a gap in between dropping out and hitting the league.
Yeah.
It was a few years of uncertainty.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Dropping little mixtapes that weren't going nowhere.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying, to take the time out, I think the give back part was always a part of his
DNA. I'm all about it, man. I like that shit. It was dope to see. You know, I was looking at. That's the first thing I looked at, though. I was like,
yeah, you know how that go.
I was like, did they manipulate some of these? Because these are all money ass responses. Like, you know, Drake is like, hey, did we have the camera running? Good. Okay, next. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, we gotta do that again.
You know how that. I mean, all of that had to be orchestrated. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're gonna give a van to a community center, if you're gonna give money to a community center, you gotta set the shit up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta go through the motions of whose name it need to be in,
right.
All that shit. You gotta check the paperwork.
Right.
There's a lot that go on to it, but it's still in the time of you doing it, the reaction
is real.
It's real. Cause again, in the same vein, we did a video for Lil Wayne.
Uh-huh.
When he was in jail,
uh-huh.
he had gave it was a lady who was bedridden, didn't have no kind of transportation because she was like, you know, right. fucked up.
Right.
So he gave her what he called the Rolls Royce of wheelchairs, so she can get around. And we went and shot it. And they knew it was coming. You know what I'm saying? She had to, they had to fit it for it. They had it's all that shit. But yeah. when it fucking shows up
right.
and you get your ass in it and you fucking wheeling around when right. you've been in the bed for 2 years,
right.
the reaction is good. You know what I'm saying? Goddamn Lil Wayne. I love that little motherfucker. I ain't know who he was before, but I know him
don't
now.
Bet not nobody say nothing bad
about Lil Wayne.
Nothing at all.
You know what I'm saying?
I fuck with Tunchi.
And you know what I'm saying? That type of shit changed the conversation around your name.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how I be feeling when I drop some heat off at the Goodwill. You know what I mean? I got some shit that I don't, yeah, I come through. Woohoo! Change your lives. I just need a videographer.
I think I tried to do that shit once.
What's that?
One of my neighbors was collecting shit for the church and shit. Man, coming by, I was like, you know, we collected stuff for the church. That's when, you know, when you used to get a whole bunch of shit in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Had all kind of shit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, ooh, I'm finna drop some heat on him.
Kill him.
You know what I'm saying? So I dropped a bunch of heat, you know what I'm saying? A couple of Lettermans with the leather jacket and shit. You know what I'm saying? Leather sleeves.
Yep.
I was gonna drop my iceberg shit, but I was like, nah, I'm a hold that. Glad I did, because about 6 months later, I see these motherfuckers who came to collect wearing my shit.
God's plan.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hold God's up, plan. Dog. I'm like, hold up. How you wearing my shit?
Hey, man.
Like, is that my Celtics?
Hey, man.
My Varsity?
Once you say goodbye, goodbye. It's not yours no more.
I get it. That don't trip, but it just shit hurt my feelings real bad. Like, to see your, you know what I'm saying? To see all your shit walking down the block and shit. Like, that was supposed to be for the people.
And like, it's going to get to the people eventually.
Nigga.
But first,
it was not for you.
I got to wear it.
I could have kept my shit.
Nah, man. You should have. Oh, man.
So, you know, I done been burnt.
Speaking of that, I was watching, speaking of giving away clothes, I didn't even give away clothes. I was watching the Complex put out this documentary called Polo called Horsepower. And, you know, just basically going over the history of the lowlifes and, you know, just not just the history of lowlifes, but just the celebration of polo and urban culture. You know what I'm saying? And this shit was good. It was a good ass. It was really good documentary, you know. Broke a lot of it down, stuff that you probably already know, but what I liked about it is it didn't just stay in New York. It went down to Atlanta, went to a couple different places, and it was dope. It's worth seeing. If you fuck with polo in any capacity, it's definitely worth checking out.
Right.
But then I wound up in like a little hole of, like, one of the little features in the documentary was Just Blaze shows his polo collection.
Right,
so there's a video of him showing his polo collection. This shit looking like the fucking polo mansion. This nigga got, I mean, this shit is ridiculous. This shit is everything. All types of crazy shit. So then I'm like, well, this is Just Blaze. Obviously, his shit gonna look like, you know, a fucking retail floor. Let's go to some other polo collections, see what else is out there. And then you start seeing other people's polo collection videos. Some are modest, some are a little better, whatever. But what I've always dug about, even since way back in the day, because, like, I know one of the cats that's, I feel like he might have been a founding member of the Lowlifes way back in the days. Because the Lowlife started in Marcus Garvey, which is, like, literally, like, 3 blocks away from where I used to live. So that's, like I knew a couple cats. I know this one cat in particular who was a Lowlife. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He used to go by Will G. Lowe's, Ralphie's Kids, all of that shit. He was an OG. So I would see how this shit was moving. I'd see the, you know, niggas going to boosters, see how they be putting the shit together. So you would see it happen. Right? But what I also saw about it was this was the first time I ever really seen dudes really talk about fashion in a way that was like super particular.
Right.
Like with feeling. Like I remember my homeboy was like, yeah, you know, I'm about to go ahead and go upstairs, put on a knit, and then come back down. I ain't never heard a motherfucker call a shirt a knit. Like he know, like it just makes you watching these collection videos. they use in all types of, you know, they talk about nets. They talk about, you know, this is a tartan print. You know what I mean? this has a nice crest. These are critter pants. Like, they broke the whole shit down. It's just kind of cool that when a subculture, like any type of subculture, the amount of research and dedication you get to learning the culture and how it can expand how you see the world. Like, right. That shit was pretty cool. Like, you right. know what I mean? It was pretty dope. So I was looking at a couple little Polo collection videos. It's kind of funny. It's kind of cool. Kind of made me feel a little better for hoarding. I know I need to stop getting rid of shit. Because what's the thin line between collecting and hoarding?
Your presentation.
That's true. Your curation. It's the difference between a museum and a fucking junkyard.
Exactly. You might have some jewels in your junkyard. Yeah. But them shits ain't organized and in the right place. And you ain't got no room for that shit.
Do you collect anything? Nope. Anything that you collect at all? Never in life?
Not really. Not except experiences and people. I collect friends.
All right.
I collect people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. You know, I mean, I don't have no physical shit that I be holding on to or beholded to. I go through shit and I move on. You know what I'm saying? And I go to my next shit. But, you know, that's just me. That just never really struck me. I was never that dude. I was never like, ooh, I got this such and such and such and such. You know what I mean? I might, I'm not going to ever be all in, like an all in collector that got a whole fucking bunch of shit about one thing and shit like that. But I am going to start purchasing artists and photographers that I'm a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been starting to do that, but never at a mass scale of like,
it don't matter. Walk out collecting. And
say, I'm a collector. Come see my collection. I don't even, I haven't curated my shit to a point where you could even come see my shit.
Mm-hmm.
I got shit that, you know what I'm saying? It's there, but you can't see it.
Yeah.
But you know, I never really learned. In the first phase of the Jordan shit, I had Jordans, but I never collected the shit.
Right.
It's like, once you get kids and shit,
you just need room and space.
You just need money to pay for them and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit took away all of my ambitions of collecting. Shit, I'm collecting kids' bills.
Matt, what about you? Do you collect anything?
No, not really. I mean, I stockpile junk from time to time, but it's not really collecting.
Stockpile, what type of junk?
Whatever. I mean, nothing in particular. Just keep things build up, and I eventually throw them out. But no real active collecting.
Yeah. So I mean, me, I'm gonna get on the. I feel bad because it's certain artists that I knew I could have had their works.
Right.
And they popping right now.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like fucked up because I don't have their work and I can't afford their work now.
Why don't you have that work? Because it was, you didn't feel like buying it at the moment?
No, at the
or?
Time, like I said, when you got other priorities and shit, like say Hebrew Brantley, right? We met, we interviewed Hebrew in 2009. He was still in Chicago doing his thing. Just,
right.
He was on the rise. He wasn't even doing the Flyboy yet, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He had other paintings that he was doing. And the Flyboy is what made him famous right now. But at the time, you know what I'm saying, it was like you could have got a piece 500 maybe, you know what I'm saying, and had it. And maybe 3 years ago, Jay and Beyonce bought one of his pieces, and then
it was out of there.
It was out of here from there. So now, you know, his piece is going for 20, and you know what I'm saying, 30,000, mm-hmm. and he's like, damn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, I could have gave that man 500 in 2009, but that 500 on top of your other shit, you like, shit, should I do that? This seemed like a frivolous purchase.
Especially if that shit don't go up in value.
Well, you know,
have you done that? Have you spent some money on some shit? Well, go ahead, keep going.
No, it's not. It's like, the whole point is like, if you like it, you know what I'm saying? You have to understand that the value of the things that you like, and you have to create bandwidth for that.
Right.
But at the time, I wasn't creating any room for that. I was like, I got down there $100,000 just in schools and shit. So
right.
Fuck every all other little shit. It's got to be on point with my shit. So I never made room for it. I'm going to start making room for that type shit.
Mm.
So like I said, remember like when I was saying, I sometimes I just get benevolent on the internet and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. Like, it's like now I make room for buying shit that I'm a fan of or work from people that I'm a fan of. Because I'm more about the people than it is the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what make collecting trippy because I want to invest more in the people mm-hmm. than necessarily just having a bunch of work.
Mm.
But I got a bunch of people that I invested in. And someday that shit gonna come back.
I'm sure it's already come back. I mean, but yeah. I'm trying to think, do I collect anything? I collect shit, you know, like I've been collecting since I was a kid, but I've always been collecting for the flip. You know what I mean? Right. Like from the door, I was looking at baseball cards and comic books and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be cool. You know, I'm not the biggest sports fan. Certain comics I like. I've always liked the Spider-Man series, Amazing Spider-Man in particular. But everything else after that, and the Punisher, but everything else after that was like, I was paying attention to the market mm-hmm. early. Like, I'm looking at Beckett, which was the thing that would tell you how much baseball cards are going for, what's the rate on them, when you could turn them in, blah, blah, blah. There was a Wizard magazine tell you how much your comic books was worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then it moved to sneakers. And then, you know what I mean? Like, right. It was definitely my version of the stock market.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then there are people... I do collect certain shit. Like, if I know some people, right? Mm-hmm. To your point, if I know people and they put out dope shit or they write a book or mm-hmm. they put out art or whatever, and I'm in a position where I could cop something
mm-hmm.
and I fuck with it, right. I'll cop it. And not even in the way of this shit gonna be worth something.
Right.
Back to your point of, I want to support the movement, and if it's worth something, that's even better.
Right.
But what's even better is when somebody says, oh, shit, you got a fucking Cleophas.
Right.
Like, yo, that's my man. I know him from such yeah, and such, and it'd be a story. You know what right. I mean? Rather than, yeah, cop that at all.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, and it feels like, for me, like I said, maybe if I organize my shit and put it in a collectible form,
right.
you'll probably see a lot of that. I got books from people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like obscure ass magazines, like this girl in London, Charmadee Reed, used to do a fanzine called Wah.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple of those, you know what I'm saying? She popping on a whole another level on some other shit, but I do have a couple of those upstart fanzines from when she was real young.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I do have stuff. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Never thought of it as a collection. It was just like, you support it, you're like, yo. You know what I'm saying?
See, I might think of too much shit as a collection. That's why I don't throw shit out. Because I could tell you a story about everything. A lot of shit might need to be thrown out. But I'll be like, well, you know, this long sleeve shirt was from the set of Guy Court, which ran one season. And it was a moment in my life, and I can't get rid of it. I can't. Right. I'm dead ass. Or I got a right. fucking T-shirt that says Clark Atlanta University alumni.
Right.
I boosted that shit when I was a freshman at Clark. I didn't even know if I was going to graduate, but I was like, and it was Vision. Right, you know what I mean? Yeah,
Vision.
And that shit got holes and all types of shit in it, but something about it, I'm not going to throw it out just yet.
Yeah, and it's, the thing about it is what means something to you. And I was going through the internet last week, and I seen somebody write something about I used to do a magazine called 21st Century Hustle. You know that, but
people
might not know that. 21st Century Hustle. And it was somebody that wrote something about the magazine and how it affected them and shit, and that they still got the copy. And I'm late. I never seen this, and it was probably they wrote it maybe 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, you know what I'm saying, that shit was a business, and a business that cost me a lot of money and,
right.
you know what I'm saying, a lot of fucking stress and a lot right. of, you know what I'm saying, I don't do it no more because of shit. I lost a lot of money fucking right. with it. You know what I'm saying? But to see that it affected somebody like that and that they still got it and they holding on to it, it's in their collection, and it makes you feel some certain kind of way. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Kind of feels worth it.
It's like, damn, you know what I'm saying? That's exactly what I wrote back. Like, yo, that shit, even though all this and that, this shit felt worth it when motherfuckers actually get it and actually see it.
They appreciate that shit.
You know
shit.
What I'm saying? So I think supporting the people that do it is the most important part to me, as opposed to just having it to have.
I can dig it. That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Don't just have it to have it.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, a lot of people do shit just because it's the thing to do.
It's the wave.
Like with the low lives and shit. It's like, in a certain point, it's probably like 91. All the cats that came from New York claim to be a low life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my name is such low.
Well, that's like Wu-Tang and all types of other shit.
Come on, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you find out they from, you know what I'm saying, Schenectady or some shit. Mm-hmm. Like, nigga, you ain't even from Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You low life, my ass. But, you know what I'm saying, there is, you know, man, Fish Low, you know what I'm saying, he Flatbush, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, shout out to Fish Low.
You got to check it out. It's good. It's worth checking out. Oh, man.
I am.
What else is going on? Anything else going?
I got an anniversary coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm making
many years?
18 years. Wow. 18 years.
you can't help but sing that.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, the kids is mine.
18 years, man. Well, I mean, shit, that's a feat.
Yeah.
You got any wisdom to impart after you done made it? That's a whole adult life.
I'm sure I do. I mean, it's like, but, you know, the thing about you know, making it to 18 or just making it past two, making it past one.
Right.
Just staying together. It's that shit is work, yo.
Yeah.
That shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, love ain't fun. You know what I mean? It ain't always fun. You do fun shit, you can live life, but it's like an equation and shit that you had to solve over and over and over. You know what I'm saying? It's like you go into it and it's one thing. 18 years later, y'all two different people than you was before. And you got a different set of needs. Like back then it was just love and let's fuck and have some babies and shit. Now, them babies is damn near grown.
Mm-hmm.
And now, is you know what I'm saying, you got different needs. It's like, damn, I have to fulfill my career path, and I have to do this. And, you know, I'm still trying to put shit in the world. She trying to, you know, move up in her career. And what she needs now ain't what she needed then. She's not the same person. And you had to change to accommodate that, and you have to be aware that the change is needed, because sometimes you go through life and you're like, shit, motherfucker, this is what we've been doing the whole time. Why shit changing now? Because y'all changed. You know what I'm saying? And they don't tell you that shit in love school. When they tell you, you know, happily ever after and shit, they don't tell you.
Love school.
You know what I'm saying? The school of love. The social, you know what I'm saying? Just shit you hear about life and love and shit. Get married.
Could that work? Could there be a love school? What would the curriculum be?
The curriculum would be, it'll be a whole lot. I mean, that shit is a
How many years you got to go to love school?
Nigga, you got to return a couple of times.
Yeah, you got to master's.
You got to do it in your first few, you know what I'm saying? Like right when you about to get married and shit, mm-hmm. like that. You got to do half, like after 7 years, your 7 year mark, you got to go back and get a recertification. You know, as you go, is a lot changes. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you had kids, like, Bob Miller told me some shit. He's the own vibe. And I was talking to him, and his daughter, he was like, yeah, my last daughter just graduated from high school. She's going off to college. I'm like, oh, shit, y'all about to be good. Y'all empty nesters. Shit, y'all about to get it popping. He was like, yeah. But, you know, the thing is, you after the kids are gone, you realize you don't have nothing to talk about, because all you've been talking about for the last 20 years is the kids. You know what I'm saying? So at that point, somewhere between when you start and that point, you have to go back.
You got to refocus on each other.
You have to refocus. And you have to dedicate a certain part of your mind to really think about, what are we communicating about? What is our community? What is our relationship about? How are we communicating every day? And when do we take time to just talk about regular shit that's just us? You know what I'm saying? Or just, you know, regular shit.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, you could get in a zone where you got some shit every day
mm-hmm.
to be talked about. Well, the kids need this, such as need to go here, and then da 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 da. What we doing about, you know what I'm saying, college? What we doing about, you know what I'm saying, aftercare and after school and, you know what I'm saying, babysitters and... You could do that, you know what I'm saying, the whole time. without ever even talking about how was your motherfucking day, or you know what I'm saying, what's going on in your head and your world, yeah. What is you thinking, how you feeling about yourself,
right?
You could talk about problems all motherfucking day, and never get nowhere. And then in the end, when them kids is gone, you ain't no more problems in that scenario. Like, who is you? Who is you?
Got it right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, who are you? You know what I mean?
Man, that's... Well, how do you do? So what do you do? What do you do? Talk to us. I just set up the existential question and say, all right, well, I'm out. What do you do? How you? What kind of conversation?
What do you do is the thing about it is you pay attention. You know what I mean? And the check-in with, see, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a master at the shit because sometimes the problems get in the way of the communication. And sometimes your wife bring you problems all the time and shit you ain't did and shit you supposed to do. And then you don't even really want to talk about shit else because the motherfucker done pissed you off. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you got to gather your motherfucker self regardless of the fact and just check in. What's happening? What you thinking about? Where you going? Where you want to go in your situation? What's happening at your job? Because, you know, your spouse spend their time doing what they do. They go to work 8, 9, 10 hours a day. That's where they spending their time. That's the people that understand what they going through on a day-to-day basis. You not there. So you got to somehow figure out how to tap into that shit and tap into who they are and where they trying to go. But the most important thing that, you know, I try to do it, I'm not always successful every day, but the thing what you try to do is to give them that push and drop them jewels as far as the direction that they should go in. And some days they don't want to hear that shit from you because you done left some dishes in the motherfucking sink. But you got to still throw that shit out there. And sometimes that shit stick. And when it stick, that's the type of shit you talk about. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of shit you build on. And when you got good shit in the mix, you build on that shit until you turn everything into good shit and the problems kind of fade. So that's what you focus, man. You listen. You fucking shut the fuck up and listen.
And you do them dishes too.
When you can. You try. Cause I'm the violator of the dish thing. You know what I'm saying? My wife come in there and be a spoon in the sink. Who left this spoon? God damn. Cause you know, I work at the house, you know what I'm saying? My studio's at the crib. So, you know, you be doing shit in the middle of doing shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You making a sandwich, but you on a conference call and shit.
Yeah.
And then the spoon get left in the motherfucking sink.
Is it just the spoon? Or is it a few other things?
It may be a knife, a saucer.
Pan.
3 or 4 teacups. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm notorious for leaving a teacup somewhere randomly on a... Because I pace, right?
It's not like a weird-ass serial killer. Teacup killer.
I pace, and I drink tea and shit. So I be pacing, drinking my tea, you know what I'm saying? on a conference call. You got your headphones on. You pacing. You know, I'm going all up 2-3 floors and coming back down. And then you sit the shit, you might get to a point where you sit shit down and you trying to write something down and then you pace off. And then shit, you know what I'm saying? 8 hours later, your wife come home and the fucking cup in the middle of random spot. I'm like, what the fuck? Who left this cup here? Mm-hmm. Why would you leave
with
this?
With tea still in it?
Yeah. A cold tea bag and shit. Like, who the fuck left this cup right here?
Oh. After 18 years, it's still like, who?
And then you hear that shit upstairs, and you know it's you, and you're like, oh, Lord, I didn't even know where the fuck I left that damn cup. But, you know, this is what it is, you know what I'm saying? You know, but you have to be able to suffer that and still be inspiring. And still try to gather inspiration from your mate and your spouse.
Try to make the most of it.
Well, you have to because this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you know what I'm saying, you suffer your life. You don't want to suffer your life. You know, I think a lot of people just say, fuck it, and give up. But me as a problem solver, I try to, you know, figure out the equation. Like, what's really the root cause? And what's really the problem? How can this be solved? You know what I'm saying? I'm like an Albert Einstein of fucking trying to figure out the love equation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I figure it out, I'm going to let y'all know. But right now, I'm in the middle of the motherfucking shit. I just got a whole bunch of shit on the chalkboard trying to, you know what I'm saying, make shit work. Mm. But when you make little things work, man, because when you're in a situation, especially for this long, you got a whole lot at play. It's not just you and that person. It's you, it's your kids, it's your family, it's your mama, it's your daddy, it's your history, it's your, you know what I'm saying? All the shit you ever done in the relationship, all the mistakes you made, all of the good shit you've done. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? All that counts towards, you know, where you at. And what you try to do is impart more good shit into the equation than anything else. You try to impart more optimism, more things to look towards. You know what I'm saying? Like the calendar. You know how like the calendar in the world and society, the calendar has people, you look for certain things at certain points.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you got back to school, then you're looking forward to Thanksgiving. Then from Thanksgiving, your Christmas is already in the play. After Christmas, tax season, you know what I'm saying? Then motherfucking midwinter break and spring break and then summer, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like in your relationship, in your family, you try to create these rituals that everybody gets to look forward to in between the minutia, like when the down times, at least you can go to, hey guys, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? This is what we gonna do next. And everybody can work towards and then get excited. And this is what, you know what I'm saying, start planning for it. And that helps, you know what I'm saying? Rituals help. And not that I have the most of them. I don't have them all in place yet, but I know I need them. Because in the downtime, motherfucker be on your ass about just some bullshit. But when you got shit coming up, like anniversary, then y'all can start planning for something else. Hey. And then you working together, and then you talking more positive shit.
What y'all doing for this anniversary?
I don't know what she got planned. I'm not going to say what I got planned because she be listening, and this comes out before the anniversary.
Oh, wow. All right. Let us know next week.
I got good shit going. You know what I'm saying? Like grown folk ass shit. This shit don't sound exciting. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you see anniversary gifts, it'd be like, yo, you got a new diamond ring and shit. Nah, I got some real ass, some shit that really count. You know what I'm saying? Some shit that's going to count towards, you know, life.
Okay. All
right. You know what I'm saying? I went out and I enlisted, you know what I'm saying, some help in this one as far as some getting ideas. You know, I try to do shit on my own, but I'm not a big celebrator.
Right.
So my shit, you know what I'm saying, sometimes laying flat. So I needed some help.
Okay.
So I went out and enlisted some ideas from people who've been in a similar situation.
Got some real shit, some substantial shit.
Some just, and then when you hear what it is, it's going to be like, oh, that's it, nigga. But when you in a situation, that's the type of shit that be counting. Like, you could go out and buy a diamond ring and shit. That shit gonna make her happy for about 2 days.
She about to get a dishwasher.
That's shit. That would be on the list. Uh-huh. Shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to spoil nothing. My bad.
That would be on the list.
Oh, brand new.
You know what I'm saying? that shit. Yeah, some shit like that. Some real shit that's gonna count towards making day to day life right.
That's what's up. Well, let us know next week if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit, let us know what you're doing for the rest of the week, though. Where you going to be at?
Shit, anniversary 30. Oh, I'm shooting behind the scenes. I'm doing a little mini doc on this show called Soundtrack 63. It's a performance they're doing at the Apollo with the Soul Science Lab. My man Chin Lo is my next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted us to shoot the show. But the Apollo, you know what I'm saying, they're a union house and they, you know, they had other plans. But anyway, we're going to shoot all the behind the scenes stuff though and still come up with a great ass mini doc on Soundtrack 63. I saw it when they did it at Lincoln Center.
Uh-huh.
And it's real dope. It's like black history. It's like rap. I think Rhapsody is in it. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole bunch of people that's doing it. That's cool. So I'm excited about that. So, you know, and get all the backstage shit and the rehearsals and the interviews and make some cool shit.
That's dope.
So, yeah, we doing that. That's Thursday, Friday.
When you putting that out, you know?
Probably next week sometime.
Oh, all right. But that's what's up.
Mm-hmm. My son going to visit Hampton this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then that's that, man.
That's big.
Yeah.
FAMU. What's the FAMU visit coming up? Was it homecoming?
No, homecoming pass. So I'll probably do that like right around somewhere in March, top of April. I need to pull some strings, man. I need to get this shit settled down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do what the fuck I do. Be the plug. Get them in school somewhere.
See what you could do. You could do something.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the stand. Well, go ahead. What are you about to say?
Where you going to be?
Oh, shit. Well, that's a good question. I'm going to be at the stand tonight on the 10 o'clock show. I'm going to also be at Westside Comedy Club this Friday on the 8 and the 10 o'clock show. I'll be at Stand Up New York on Saturday on the 8 and the 10 o'clock show. Also at the stand at the 8 and the 10 o'clock show on Saturday. And then I'll be at Sweet on Tuesday, the 27th. I believe that's at, shit, don't get me the line. I'm not even going to tell you, but I'll keep you posted if you follow me on Twitter. I'll also be at the Albany Funny Bone in March 15th through the 18th. I'll be at Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis. I'm coming out there March 20th through the 24th, and then I'll be in the Funny Bone Hartford March 27th. Through the 31st. So get your tickets now. Try to catch me. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even a colonizer.
To get in the conversation.
We out.
Yeah.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.